John chapter 12, starting in verse 12 through 19. And it says, "On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and began to shout, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' These things the disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason, also, people went and met him because they heard that he had performed a sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and Lord, help us as we study your word, Father, and learn more about you. And Father, we thank you that we could meet around your table today and encourage one another. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have, Father, that we can do this without persecution, Father. Help us, Father, to study your word and strengthen ourselves, Father, so that we can stand firm in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. We thank you, Father, for Jesus, in his name. Amen. So previously in chapter 11, and in chapter 11 and in the beginning of chapter 12, we saw there's three groups of people we looked at, and this has been a little while ago now, but three groups of people. We saw one group that despised Jesus, which was the leaders of Israel. For the most part, there was a handful of leaders that knew that he was the prophet, but they feared being put out of the synagogues. But for the most part, the leaders of Israel despised him. You had the other group of people, or in Judas representing them, is where they were with him, but eventually faded away, devalued him in his mind, didn't value him like he should have. And then a third group, where we represented by Mary and the other lady that is talked about in Matthew and Mark, but they valued Jesus highly. And so when we're looking here, we're going to kind of get into chapter, or as we get into chapter 12 more, we're going to see another group of people here that it's kind of, you could lump groups one and two together and make this group of people, but they're really kind of a fourth group that we see here in chapter 12. And these, in verses 12 through 15, it talks about these followers here, that they saw him coming to the feast, and they laid palm branches, which is known today as what they call Palm Sunday, which is whatever you want to call it, give it a title or whatever. It's the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. But they laid out palm branches and their coats on the ground, and they greeted him like they would celebrating the coming of a king. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 21. And as we would look there in John, and we'll see this also in Matthew 21 and in Mark's account and Luke's account as well, but they were quoting scripture as they were praising him. So in Matthew 21, start in verse 1, it says, "When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, a foal of the beast of burden.' The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and sat, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road, and others were cutting off branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds were going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So Matthew and the other Gospels as well, but he clarifies here, he quotes Zechariah. Now this is what was quoted about in Zechariah chapter 9, if you want to head over to there. Zechariah chapter 9. But they as Jesus is doing this, this is fulfilling prophecy of Zechariah 9. Now, and also it's pointed out is that the people recognize this partially, and they recognized and they quote other passages, another passage of scripture in the Old Testament, which we'll get to in a minute. But Zechariah chapter 9 talks about in chapter 1, or I'm sorry, verse 1, I mean, as well, 1 and 2 of Zechariah 9, it talks about I think it's in verse, maybe it's in verse, in there somewhere, but it talks about Jesus coming and where he's starting his ministry. And in verse 9, it talks about, "Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming, and he is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a donkey. And he will cut off from the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth." So you see that as we are, as Jesus is writing in, and as they're quoting or fulfilling this prophecy, this also says that he is going to bring peace. So they're recognizing that the kingdom is coming, and the other Gospels do say that as well. They recognize the coming kingdom. They recognize the Son of David, and we'll see that here in a minute. But he's quoting Zechariah, he's fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, where he is come mounted on a donkey. Now a king, a physical king, wouldn't normally come on mounted on a donkey or a colt of a donkey. It would be a stallion or a little bit bigger, not really parade, not the word I'm looking for, but a bigger party that he is riding through, more proud animals, if you will, that he would be riding. Now Jesus come humble and mounted on a donkey, which tells about the character of Christ for one, but he is showing, and this fulfills other parts of things about Jesus, where he is not highly esteemed, where he is a lowly birth. You know, he's not of the royalty. He is from the line of Judah, but he's not of a royal family. Turn back to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and in verse 7. Now, it's Mark's account here. He says, "They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches, which they had cut from the fields. Those went in front, and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king, the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!'" And it says Jesus entered into Jerusalem. So they saw, notice it says there that Mark adds a little bit there, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." So the people recognized something about Jesus when they see him coming in here. They see some prophecy. They even quote some scripture, multiple scriptures, that when he comes in there, they greet him like he's the king, like he's the Son of David. They greet him like he is going to be the Messiah that's going to sit on David's throne. But there's another passage that they quote when it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that's found in Psalm 118. If we turn back over there, Psalm 118. Psalm 118. In verse 26, it says, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have been blessed. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." So they quote Zechariah. They see Zechariah being fulfilled. They quote Psalm 118 about blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So they're recognizing that Jesus is coming in the name of the Lord. They recognize that he is a prophet, and maybe more than just a prophet. He is the son of David. The kingdom is coming. But there is even a passage of scripture in Psalm 118 that they missed. And if you go back to a few verses in verse 22, it's a familiar passage that is quoted a few times in the New Testament. It says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save. We beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you. Do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." So they saw part of it. And even though, I'm not saying that every person who is saying Hosanna at this time when they were saying that perished. But there is a part in here that was missed by even when Jesus blatantly told them, "Have you never heard? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." In Matthew 20, earlier in Matthew 20, or later in Matthew 21, he does talk about that. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees, leaders of Israel, they recognize who Jesus is talking about. And it's talking about them. But the people here quote some scripture, but they also missed some scripture. Turn back to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. We're going to start in verse 28, or 37, I'm sorry, 28 is kind of the whole story, but verse 37 is what we're going to start with. And it says, "As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" I'm going to stop there for a second. Now notice the word that's used there when it says, and it didn't say this in John specifically. It didn't really say it in Matthew specifically. But it says in verse 37, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully. Okay, so disciples are followers of Jesus. Okay, so the whole crowd was following him. The whole crowd was praising the coming of the King. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Okay, that's actually even changes that the in Psalm 118 it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But they're recognizing this as the he that they're talking about in Psalm 118 is the King, which is going to be the Son of David, who is going to, the kingdom that's coming that they see in Mark, blessed is the coming kingdom. They recognize that. And they quote the scripture. So continue on there, verse 39. It says, "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes, for the days will come when you have enemies, will come and throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. So the followers of Jesus are quoting Scripture and getting Scripture right. They are quoting Scripture that Jesus was the king, was the son of David, all accurate. The kingdom was coming. That was accurate too. Similar to, that's why I said before, you could probably lump the kind of be similar to group 1 and 2 of chapter 11, where the Pharisees were quoting some Scripture, not correctly, but Judas didn't really like the idea of, he didn't value Jesus as much as he should have, and these people valued the physical kingdom probably more than Jesus did, more than they did Jesus, because they didn't recognize what kind of type of king he actually was. See, they're saying the things that are right, they're saying the things that are accurate, they're saying most of the truth, and Jesus says, there's an coming day, and he weeps over the city because there's an coming day that they're going to be destroyed because they didn't recognize the time of the visitation. They didn't recognize what the kingdom actually was, that it was a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. Turn back to John chapter 12. Now, the disciples didn't recognize it, didn't understand it completely either. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Verse 16 of John chapter 12. I should say when I say disciples, I mean disciples as followers, but you also understand that there are disciples that were closer to Jesus than there was other disciples. Okay, verse 16, it says, These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered what these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. Okay, so even at the time, the disciples, or some of the closer ones, and John is clarifying these disciples here, maybe even a little separate group, that recognized what actually happened and remember what actually happened after Jesus was glorified, after the fact, versus some disciples at that time who were still focused on the physical and didn't recognize it, and the things were hidden from them. But the disciples remembered after Jesus was glorified. If you turn ahead a couple chapters of John chapter 14, and we understand this as well, that the disciples didn't understand a lot of things until after Jesus was glorified. They understand some things, but there's quite a few things that they did not understand, a lot of the deeper things they did not understand. But in chapter 14, verse 25, it says, These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, in the context here, Jesus is talking to the 12 apostles here. But the what he is telling them there, and if you go through the rest of the times where it talks about the Helper, that is included to, extends to all disciples of Jesus. But they didn't understand everything at the time, and they didn't understand it until after he was glorified. They didn't understand it all until the Holy Spirit helped them. Turn back to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And if we go back into John chapter 14 and stuff like that, where a little earlier he talks about how he wasn't going to leave them as orphans, and he says, it's to your advantage in chapter 16 of John that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Helper won't come. So Jesus had to be glorified before the Holy Spirit would return and help and teach the disciples. And we know, we're not going to get into it too much today, we know that as in the scripture reading this morning, actually it really wasn't even planned that way, but the Holy Spirit was, that's what defines us as being from God or not from God, because those disciples there, Apollos and the other 12, they were immersed, but they weren't immersed correctly. They didn't understand they received the Holy Spirit. And so they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. And so they were immersed correctly in order to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that didn't happen until after Jesus was glorified, after he ascended into heaven. And so if you look at the two groups of people, yeah, they both didn't understand everything. They both were to, you know, quoted some scripture. They both understood some scripture, understood some things about him that the apostles already knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They confessed that he was, but they still don't understand exactly what the kingdom looked like. The people that Jesus is greeting Jesus as he is entering into Jerusalem, they recognized him as being the son of David. They recognized him as being the coming king. They recognized him as the kingdom is coming. But they didn't recognize it in the correct way. They recognized it in the way that they thought, instead of the way that God had planned. And so the two people were the majority of the Jewish people at that time there were eventually destroyed by the Roman army because they rejected Jesus, which fulfilled the scripture that they missed in Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. Because the Jews were set up to build. They were set up to take off. The promises were made to the fathers they were set up, they had the foundation, and the stone which they rejected to be the cornerstone became the cornerstone. But in the apostles' case, or not just the apostles, that's why it doesn't specifically say the apostles, the disciples who let the Spirit help them, let the Spirit teach them. Obviously, after Jesus was glorified and stuff like that, but the details is that those people in John and the other people here that were destroyed, the Jews that were destroyed, they had 40 years to give the Spirit a chance to help them. They had 40 years after Jesus died and resurrected and ascended into heaven, and the church began. They had 40 years to soften their heart and let the Holy Spirit help them. And they didn't. Those who did recognize that Jesus, these things did happen to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helped them and taught them and brought to remembrance that, hey, this is what the Scripture had said. This is what the Scripture says about him. And the Scripture that they had, as we mentioned a few times here, was the Old Testament. The Scriptures that they used was the Old Testament, because they didn't have the books of the New Testament during the times of the New Testament. So they understood the Holy Spirit helped them understand that this was talking about Jesus, the King that was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, Psalm chapter 118, and Isaiah chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 7, all helped them understand that that was talking about Jesus, and the kingdom wasn't a physical kingdom, it was a spiritual kingdom. And that's why Jesus wept over the people who didn't recognize it, because they did not recognize the type of kingdom that he had. They had a lot of the right things. They said a lot of the right things. They weren't even the religious leaders that wanted to shut up Jesus. They're the ones that were greeting him. And they still didn't do everything. They still didn't miss some of the scripture, because they let their opinion cloud what the scripture said, and instead of letting God changed their opinion. Back to John chapter 12. Verse 17 of John chapter 12. So the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him because they heard that he performed this sign. So you can probably have a mixture of people here in both of these, where the people who testified about it and the people who went out and after they heard that he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. You have a mixture of people in the character there where they were willing to see what Jesus wanted, but you're going to have the people in this group that still didn't get it all the way. But it does seem that they are pretty sincere. Their desire to follow him seems pretty sincere still. So just because, just because someone has the desire to follow Jesus does not mean that they do. And you hear faith only say all the time, well, you're not justified by your works, and you're not. But you're not justified by your desire either. Just your desire alone. Because you can have a desire, but you can still have the wrong picture. And that's the groups of people that we have here with the Jews, the big group of Jews, desired to follow Jesus, but they had their own picture. And they were given a chance. And you have the people who didn't understand everything either. And that's okay not to understand everything, because if we're letting the Holy Spirit help us learn, we're going to grow and understand. I'm not saying to stay there. I'm saying that it's okay if you don't understand everything right now. But if the Holy Spirit is helping us, we're going to grow and we're going to learn, and that's going to change our opinion instead of our opinion changing the Scripture. Verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." I think it's important for us to understand, this is maybe kind of not a lot to touch on this one here, but the world is going to lump the true church in with the false church. Okay, so just because, and you look in Luke, Jesus didn't rebuke the people for praising him coming in there. He didn't rebuke them for that. He wept for some of their reasoning. Now, I'm not saying that some people who were saying Hosanna, I'm not saying that they didn't become Christians. There probably many of them did, but the majority of them didn't. But there's probably many of them that did. And so, really, if you look at, there's 3,000 people immersed on the day of Pentecost, which was about 50 days later from when this happened, probably 60 days later, roughly about that, but from when this happened. So there was those people that were going to be there that probably were at the day of Pentecost as well, and so they probably were. There's a lot of people that were saying these things, not understanding exactly what they were saying, but they understood it after the resurrection of Jesus, and they were obedient. But the Pharisees lumped both the people who really understood more about Jesus and understood him and being closer disciples, they lumped both of them in with the people who were saying, "Hosanna, the coming king here," and had their mindset on a physical kingdom. Yeah, I'm not saying that both of them understood everything right, but one group stayed and focused on a physical kingdom, and the other group was willing to let the Spirit help them. And the world lumps them both together. You've probably been at times, and I know I have at times when you're trying to say something or describe scripture, and because somebody is taught false because of the scripture and taught it wrong, it's kind of an extra hurdle you have to get over because the people you're studying with have heard it taught wrong or preached about wrong, and there have been man-made traditions made of it, so they lump you in with that group just because you're teaching on it. And I guess the one thing that I always say is that, well, the Catholics believe that Jesus was the Son of God, Does that mean that I'm Catholic? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean they're right either, just because they have part of the truth. And so we have to understand that the world is going to lump us in, and it's easy to say now, but when persecution comes, and that's why there's Christians that got persecuted when Jerusalem and the Jews were being destroyed, but Jesus warned the Christians about that so that they could mostly get out of there, but not everybody did, because just for the matter of fact is that they believed part of this, they lumped them together. So we have to make sure that we're ready and understand that the world is going to do that. They're not going to see differences between the evangelicals and us, or the Baptists and us, or the Mormons and us, or the Jehovah's Witnesses and us. They're not going to see a difference from that. They're going to put us all together. We have to understand that's what is going to happen. And Jesus understood that too. So we're not denying the truth that they say, but we're not going to hold up the false teachings they say either. But we're ready for that. I know that's a little bit of a side deal maybe of the whole passage. But so one thing I think I want to make sure that we understand today is that if we need to make sure we don't overlook things. But don't worry so much about it, because if we're willing to let the Holy Spirit help us, He'll bring that to our light, the light too. But then let's let the Holy Spirit help us too. Because there's a lot of people that are sincere that don't get the whole picture. So let's not be one of them. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Spirit that is a helper to us, Father, that He guides us into all the truth, Father, that we can be confident. We know that you are a God that desires to save. Father, we know that you are a God that gives us multiple chances, Father, that gives everybody chances. Father, you have provided your word, and you have sent your Spirit into all the world, Father, to convict men. Father, we thank you for that, Father, that you're a loving God and a just God. Lord, we pray as we grow, Father, and help us to continue to grow and to learn more about you. We thank you again for Jesus and that we could be your children. In his name, amen.